Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hello, good evening. Here we are again, Deserted Island Dis. Another beautiful sunny night in Sheffield, Sheffield Live Studios. This is the show where it's Irish based, and originally it was people who were born in the island of Ireland, now living in South Yorkshire, and we get them on the show and they talk about their lives and they play some of their favourite songs. I've run out of Irish people, as regular listeners will know, but I've got the next best thing. I've got a second generation Irish person. We've got Dave Housing. Hello, Dave. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, Dave is a genuine celebrity. You've been seen by millions.
I have, yeah. I've never been called a celebrity, but yeah. That's one word for it.
And we're going to hear about his life. So Dave's known probably best by the public as being part of Steve Bracknell's team. He's in the Royal Oak.
That's right, yeah. I'm the number one sub.
Yes.
Never get off the bench, unfortunately, but yeah, that's another story.
So we're going to talk a bit about Steve Bracknell later on. But he's also been he's an actor. He's been on a major production that's been on BBC. So it's a reunion, people get out there. So you had a pretty big part in that, didn't you, as
well? Yeah. It turned in, well, it started in a small part, but yeah, it turned into a bigger one.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that in the hour. The Irish connections are there, really. So he's the part owner of Fagin's Pub, which is a big pub that plays live Irish music and big part of the Irish community in Sheffield for many, many years. And most importantly, he's got an Irish mum.
Yeah, I have. Very Irish.
I mentioned it to another one of the co-owners of Fagin's, and they said, oh, how's he's going to come on? And she's, oh, you need his mum on.
Yeah, he's like, don't get him on, get his mother on.
Yeah, so
I've already primed her up, she's up for it.
Good. Yeah, well, she'll listen to this first, but we'll get her on later in the year, after this.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah. So, should we just call you Dave or how's it?
Call me Dave, that's fine.
Dave. What we're doing this show is just learn about your life and how you've got to where you are, really. So, what's your kind of... Well, let's talk about your mum and dad first then. So go on, tell us how they met and what their story is.
So my mum was born in Waterford in Southern Ireland, and she were born in a place called Ballyduff, which is like a tiny village.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, 400 people maybe, if that. Yeah. She's probably sitting at home correcting me, but...
Yeah.
She's like one of 10, my mum.
Well, that's so typical. So's my mum, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of them, isn't there? Like, yeah. Cousins I've never met and stuff. Yeah. And auntie and uncles, I'm like, who are you? But yeah, she lived there. And then my dad was a professional football player.
Right.
And he played for United reserve team, Sheffield United reserve team.
Yeah.
In the, like, late 60s. And then he got signed by Waterford.
Right, just by coincidence.
I think they had his... Their eye on him.
Yeah, because he wasn't really playing regularly for Sheffield United.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So, and then he went over there, played for Waterford, and they won the league the season my dad were playing.
Yeah, nice.
And Shea Brennan was the manager at that point.
Ex-Manchester United superstar. Yeah. In the 1968.
They're still mates to this day. They still speak to each other, which is nice.
Is Shea still living over in Ireland? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, I think my mum and dad, because football probably didn't pay that much then, they met in a bar. I think they both worked in the same pub.
Yeah.
And then my dad, they got together and my dad brought her back to Sheffield.
Yeah.
So they moved to Sheffield in like late 70s, 77.
Okay. Have you been back to Waterford?
Yeah.
A lot.
It's the only place we went as a family holiday.
So you go as kids? And
we never went anywhere else other than Ireland, to be honest, which were great. Yeah. Like, I had loads of cousins the same age, and it was lovely.
Was it by the sea or you?
Yeah, so we had family in Tramore as well, right. Which is like on the sea.
Yeah.
Which is like beautiful, yeah.
The beaches, aren't they, down there?
Yeah, lovely beaches. Like, where my mum lived in Ballyduff, it was just like fields everywhere and could play football and stuff. It was great.
So it was a big move for your mum now, wasn't it? Was you, did your dad not think about just staying over there? Or, do you know? I'll have to get your mum on. I'll get your mum on for that.
She'll be cursing when she's at home now.
I'll ask your mum why not stay in Waterford and why they came over
here. Yeah, I mean, it's a nicer place, to be fair.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's different. It was different back in the 70s in terms of, I suppose, what work was around and stuff. And we don't know. We'll find out, won't we?
You will do. Get her on.
So you, you're back in Sheffield, and then you were saying you've got siblings, but you're the youngest.
So I'm the youngest. I was born 86.
Right.
My oldest brother's 49.
Right. So he's a bit about.
Yeah,
nine,
it's a bit
about,
of a gap.
My 9 years different. So
I'm sure I'm a mistake. Like, to be honest. It's,
So what's the next one up? What's the one in the middle then?
The one in the middle's Jonathan's 45 or 46.
They keep changing their ages, don't they?
I know they do. I'm crap with numbers, mate. Like ages, I'm like shocking. But yeah, so he's 46. So there's quite a gap.
So it was the 70s. So they came back and had kids pretty much straight away.
Got married and that. And
what was it? Did your dad? What did he do for a living over here then? After his football finished though.
I think he worked in a place called Evershaw, which was like they made curtains near Meadowhall.
Right.
He did that. Obviously, football didn't pay that well back then. And then my mum worked in, from what I can remember, she probably didn't work for a while, but when I went.
You're worried
school,
about what your mum's going to think, aren't you, if you're getting
I'm scared to death, yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting it. We'll move on from this bit soon so you can't get done.
She worked in a place called Dora Webster's, which were a sandwich shop in Hillsborough.
Right.
Which were great, to be honest. Like, you'd turn up after school, leftover cakes and that.
Yeah.
So that's where I remember my mum working as a kid.
And that's where you grew up, obviously, Hillsborough.
Grew up in Hillsborough, yeah. Mailing Bridge. Harrison Road, which, there's a band called the Harrisons, which came from there. They lived a couple of doors up.
Yeah, I remember them,
Bennington. Stanton, good road, so grew up there and lived there for quite a while.
Well, it's probably time for your first song choice, which is kind of, you describe what it is and why you picked it.
Well, this song's like, I remember doing like family parties at the Darnell Liberal Club.
Why Darnell then? Because Darnell's the other side of Sheffield, isn't it? Darnell.
Yeah, but my Nan's side of the family was,
my
Nan lived in Parsons Cross.
Right.
Some of her sisters lived at the manor.
Yeah.
She had family in Grenoside. So
Darnell's in the middle.
And it were a good venue, to be fair, class working men's club.
Yeah.
So I just remember going there, and this like Motown Northern Soul and seeing your cousins and your aunties dancing around. Yeah, it were class. I always remember this song.
So it's Jimmy Mac, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas.
Thank you.
Hey, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas.
What a tune, eh?
What a tune. So that's when Dave, when he was young, would have that. He'd be going around Darnell Social Club, was it called?
Yeah, Darnell Liberal.
Darnell Liberal Club.
Yeah, it's obviously closed down now, but...
So it was one of those big family parties, and there'd be all the cousins.
Like Beige Buffy and that, and aunties and uncles dancing around handbags and stuff like that.
And dancing to this.
Me and my cousin trying to buy illegal booze from a pub next door,
right. So, but yeah, so we're doing Dave's life, really, and we're getting through the childhood years. But suppose you were growing up in Hillsborough, and good.
Yeah, like, nice family, and we went to a primary school called Sacred Heart, where I met most of my
Catholic
mates.
Yeah,
Catholic school, yeah.
Which were
pretty close by, obviously.
Yeah.
Met the mates I met there, I'm still best mates with now.
Yeah.
A lot of them, anyway.
Yeah.
Which were great, like, we all went to the same secondary school after that. A lot of us.
What was that?
Notre Dame.
All right, yeah.
So my brothers went to Notre Dame. Yeah. So I just carried on that tradition, basically.
And it's the other side of town, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's quite a long bus journey.
It's like 45 minutes an hour on that bus.
Yeah.
The school bus, to be fair, were one of the highlights of the day.
Yeah. So because they'd have
such a laugh, yeah.
Because you'd have a big, Catholic population from the Sacred Arts, wouldn't they? And they'd all go to Notre Dame, so they'd have to put your bus on, wouldn't they?
Like? Yeah, well, there were buses from every area in Sheffield, like Firth Park, Pittsmore,
Brennerside,
Shirecliff, so you had all walks of life in Notre Dame, and it was great. Like, it weren't just people from Hillsborough.
Even in the first year, when you're not getting bullied and.
Never remember getting bullied, to be honest.
Well,
you kind of stayed near the front of it.
Until
you got into year nine, you're like, I moved to the back of it now. Stop smoking on back of the bus. I feel a bit cocky.
Your mum's listening.
No, I forgot about that. Yeah, it was a good school. And met loads more mates there. Like kids that didn't go to Sacred Heart. And I'm still good mates with now, so yeah.
Well, we'll come on to that a bit later, because it's that. So I'm not from Sheffield, but I suppose it's relevant in terms of amazed at that kind of circle of friends that were around that era of your era, who were kind of musicians.
Yeah.
And loads of people that are kind of, still friends now. So I go in Fagin's, and there's loads of people that we all, so it's mates from school days are in there, aren't they?
And from an outsider looking in, it sometimes feels like Sheffield's like a massive village. Everyone knows each other.
Yeah.
But, which it kind of is in a way, but it is if you're in that group of friends, if that makes sense. So like one of my best mates, Lewis, he's in Millburn. His brother's Joe, he's done stuff, and Tom went to play in Arctic Monkeys and all that. John McClure, he was a bit older than me, but I'm good mates with Chris, he was in my year. So it's all like connected, and it was great, to be honest. Great time to...
But I think it feels like even more so. I know Sheffield's a village, and I'm in that village now, and it's great. I love it. Like, you just go out and guarantee you're going to bump into someone you know. But something about your generation, even more, like people your age, that it seems even more prevalent than people older or younger.
Definitely, it does. I think, like, from 40 to 46, 47, everyone seemed to be doing something.
Yeah.
Loads of people were in bands and that, and it was great,
Or maybe more people stayed in Sheffield as well, because there was before that people would go to London or whatever, but it seems like most of you stayed in Sheffield and stuck with it.
And everyone's still around, to be honest. Which is great.
Well, we're talking quite a lot, but let's go back to your song choices, which takes us to a different part. So your next song choice is Molly Malone.
By the Dubliners, So I remember, like, being at home, and my dad used to have a massive Irish CD collection and tape. And this song, we used to sing it in my dad's car, and I always remember it being on. We did change the lyrics slightly, which I'll explain after.
have a go. Let's play Molly Malone.
Thank you. Dublin's fair city, where the girls are so pretty, I first set my eyes on sweet Molly Malone, as she wheeled her wheelbarrow through the streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. She was a fishmonger, and sure 'twas no wonder, for so were her father and mother before. And they wheeled their barrow through the streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. She died of a fever, and sure no one could save her, and that was the end of sweet Molly Malone. Now her ghost wheels her barrow through the streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh.
Yes, that's the Dubliners, the finest version of Molly Malone. Anything the Dubliners do, they're the finest version, in my humble opinion. So
my dad will probably agree with that.
Yes. We're on Deserted Island Dis. It's the show where we get people from the island of Ireland come to talk to us about their life. And we've got Dave House on tonight, who's second generation Irish. And we're going to get his mum on later in the year. What's she called?
Stella.
Stella.
Yep.
Stella House.
Stella House.
You've got an official invitation to
up I'm the sure numbers. I'm sure she's listening in.
So, well, we're back on your life. We've got kind of through not very far, really, have we? Kind of, you just done it.
Well, we're a sort of primary school, sort of. Yeah, like that song.
You went to Notre Dame, didn't we? We got that, yeah.
Went to Notre Dame. Met loads of mates there, like, loved it, really. I mean, school weren't really for me, but I enjoyed turning up and.
Yeah.
Making mates and having a laugh, yeah.
Worked out well for you, didn't it?
Yeah, it's worked out all right, yeah. Yeah.
So you left school and. What, you'd had enough of school, really?
Yeah, I just wanted to work. Yeah. But I did. My brother used. Well, he still works there. It's called Cemex now, but it was formerly RMC.
Right.
Which is a tarmac company.
Okay.
And he said, I can get some work experience. So I went there for like 2 weeks, I think. And then
when you're like 16, you just left school.
Yeah. And I loved it, like working in an office.
Right.
And then they offered me a job. So when you leave school, if you want to get a job as like a trainee estimator. So I did that and then went there and I thought, this is great. And like, what was it, £700 a month? I was buzzing at that point. Like, never seen so much money in my life.
When you're still really young, yeah.
And then, yeah, I was there for a couple of years, I think, at least. And then they got took over by what is now Cemex.
Yeah.
And I got made redundant, made loads of redundancies. And I was like, oh.
Did you get a payout, though?
I got a payout, yeah, and I think I spent it in about 5 days. Yeah, yeah. I think it was a couple of grand, though. Thought, you know, my mates, right, we're going out every day until this money.
Well, even that, because if you're like 16 or 17 and you're getting £700 a month and your mates have got...
My mates were going to college and that, sixth form.
Yeah.
And I had all this money in my pocket.
Yeah.
It was like, what do I do with this? Yeah. And well, we found a way to spend it.
So you could go out.
Going out every night, yeah. And
even though you're slightly underage, you could probably get in some establishments.
Yeah, a couple of mates that were very tall. And back then, it obviously weren't as strict as it is now, to be fair.
Yeah,
pissed a lot of money up the wall.
Yeah.
But we had a laugh doing it. So,
well, you're only young, aren't you?
That's it.
So what happened? So you made redundant?
Made redundant, and then I was kind of in no man's land, so I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Did all sorts after that. I got a job in a tile factory, labouring for a rendering firm.
Yeah.
Did all sorts, really.
But you kept working, you never liked your sport?
Nah, I kept working, really, yeah. And then one of my best mates, Sean, set up a film company.
All right.
So he'd done film at university. He was like the brains behind it. We did that called Kestrel Filmworks. He'll be cringing now if he's listening.
Yeah.
We did that for a bit, and I was like the guy who was contacting people, like, can we make you a music video?
Blah, blah, blah.
And he was the creative genius behind it all.
Yeah.
So we did that for a bit, and then it kind of never really took off properly.
So what were we doing?
We had an office above Frog and Parrot.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah. Well, it was lethal because it was a tab which we set up. And
but you're obviously getting some money from it. Some people were commissioning you to do
stuff. We got bits of money. There were nothing ever major. We did a big thing for John McClure, actually, which were called Lies, which were sponsored by Box Fresh, which the biggest thing that we did.
Yeah.
But for Sean, like, he needed to move to London.
Yeah.
To progress his career, and we both got to the point where, like, I think you should move to London, this isn't really working.
Yeah.
So he moved to London, he's never looked back, and he's smashing it now.
Yeah, good.
I just decided to just get a normal job.
Yeah.
And
was it Sean that did Kilimanjaro then?
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about that in a bit.
He's done Hijack with Idris Elba, and he's done all sorts of stuff. He's massive.
Yeah, say that. Well, tell more about him because it's fantastic.
Yeah, so Sean was my best mate from. Well, we went to primary school together. He went to Myers Grove, we went to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And we became mates again. And what he's doing now is just, like, incredible.
So it was directed for Hijack, which is, like, a major blockbuster.
Yeah, Devil's Hour with Peter Capaldi. He's, like, good mates with Peter now. And
He's
on to doing something else, which I probably can't tell you about.
Yeah.
But he's smashing it in London now. He's got a wife, he's got a kid, he lives in an house.
But if it wasn't for you, give him that start at the beginning.
Well, it's all down to me, yeah. I mean, he's going to give me some credit at some point. Yeah. he's smashing it, yeah.
Oh, good. No, it's great, isn't it? So, I mean, that's what I'm saying about that generation, your generation, people together that have done, like,
I think we always wanted to just do something creative. Like, we started a T-shirt company at one point.
Yeah.
Called Honeywear, which was four mates, Sean were involved with that as well. And we started selling No Kip T-shirts, that was the slogan. That would have been really well as well, but then the four people, you're trying to split a bit of money, carry on again.
It's really interesting, right, kind of all the strings to your bow, but you've also, like, I think you were saying earlier, that you've still got to pay the mortgage and you've got to do a job. So is that when you kind of got into that? So you're painting and decorating?
I've got a decorating company now.
Did that start back then, or was that kind of how long you've been doing that?
Not long after that, yeah. How long have I been doing it now? Probably like pushing on 15 years.
So you're like probably like, 25.
Yeah, I got took on by a bloke called Derek, a really nice fella. Mum and Dad knew him. He was looking for a labourer. He's coming out of my heart, and he kind of took me under his wing and taught me what I know, and I just end up setting up on my own. And that were it, and never looked back. So
that keeps the money coming in.
That's my day job, and
then you can do exciting stuff, which I think we'll play a song and then we'll get on to some of the other stuff. So this is one you've from your teenage years, so something that kind of I asked guests to kind of pick a song that really kind of felt was their own kind of music for the first time, and this is the one you picked.
This was the first album I bought, to be fair. Well, I got it bought for Christmas, and Fugees, the score.
Fugees, yeah, so back when you're like 12, 13.
Yeah, and me and Sean, who I'm just talking about, got it at the same time, so we both went round and started listening to it. Like, this is really good.
Brilliant. So it's called Fugee La, is that how you say it?
It's in the song, yeah.
By the Fugees.
We used to to be number 10. Now we permanent in one. In the battle, lost my finger. Mike became my arm. Pistol nozzle hits your nasal. Blood becomes lukewarm. Tell them, oh, my be easy now. Squeeze this armor. Test why cleft. See that flesh get scorned. Beat so bad, make me feel like you ain't wanting to be born, John. And tell your friends, stay the hell out of my lawn. Chicken George became dead George, stealing chicken from my phone. Another dead pigeon. If you're my theosis, then I'm bringing on hatred, Cecilia. Nobody shoot me. My body's made a hand grenade. Girl bled to death while she was tunkus in the razor blade. That sounds sick, maybe one day I'll write the horror. Blackula comes to the ghetto. Jackson Acura. Stevie Wonder sees crack babies becoming enemies in their own families. I'ma get them coming up when we soon done. Gun by my side just in case I got the rum. A boy on the side of Babylon trying to front like you're down with Mount Zion.
Fuji La by the Fugees with Lauryn Hill.
What an album, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, good stuff. I want a voice as well, old Lauryn.
Yeah, she's great.
So, yeah, we've got Dave House here in the studio. Time's running out, Dave. We're halfway through already.
It's flying.
And we've not spoke about, well, the bits of your life that are, how would you describe it? Different.
Yeah.
Outside the norm.
Yeah, different from decorating anyway, yeah. Yeah, so do a bit of acting as kind of part-time, we'll call it. Started off in the first acting job I ever got, which were just like with mates, was a Millburn video called Sending the Boys.
Oh, yeah,
at this
yeah.
point, they were signed to Mercury, I think.
Yeah.
And I got 60 quid and a Domino's, like, hour day off work. It was great.
Yeah, yeah, brilliant.
I played the villain in that video. And It weren't like, oh God, I want to be an actor then. It was I did enjoy it, like, in front of camera, it was a good laugh.
What kind of villain? What did you do?
I kidnapped someone. So, you know, Club 60?
Yeah, it used to be Club 60.
It was filmed.
Well, in there.
A lot of it filmed in there.
Yeah.
It was just a load of mates, really, but this woman was an actress who I kidnapped.
Yeah.
So I was just a villain and mired up. You don't really see my face. We were bitting grapes that got filmed.
Was it?
Yeah. And kind of pint of Stella at like 10:30 in the morning, which were questionable. But yeah, I played a villain who kidnapped this woman. Good little video, actually.
I'll have a look for it.
Yeah, YouTube it. That's good.
But you that didn't really kind of think, all right, I'm going to be an actor. But then, so tell us about, was it Steve Bracknell next? Was that with Sean as well? Or not?
Well, Sean filmed the first ever Bracknell.
Right.
So Chris rang us and said, I've got this idea. I'm going to be assistant manager of this football team. And he had loads of ideas of that. So whatever.
So was he obviously a good mate of yours?
How long have you known him? I've known him since secondary school. So
But he rang you. I mean, that's an honour to be the.
And we me and Sean used to knock around at John's house, and so they were me. They were me, Jordan, which is Chris and John's cousin. I don't remember if John were in it at this point. I don't know if they were a manager or it were just Chris as an assistant.
Yeah, that's all.
Were just me and Jordan sat in Encliffe Park, and Sean filming it as if it were a team talk.
Yeah.
And we were like, what are we fucking doing here? What are we doing here? But then we went back to John's after to talk about it. He's like, I'm going to turn it into a proper football team, a Sunday league team. I'm going to be assistant manager. I'm like,
did that footage make it out, the first one?
I don't think it's anywhere. I think you'd have to dig deep into YouTube, but I don't think it's anywhere that. And I can't even remember what we did.
Yeah.
But there's loads of old footage, like, I think that were 15 years ago.
Can you believe there might be people who are listening now that don't know Steve Bracknell and what it is? Can you try and explain it?
Yeah, so Steve Bracknell is an assistant manager of a Sunday League football team called the Royal Oak.
Yeah.
And now I'm one of the players in the Royal Oak.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a sub.
Yeah.
But, but there's stories behind each character and... It's kind of like, there's obviously 11 players, but there's kind of core characters and stories behind each character, and my character's Housey.
Yeah.
But he's just blown up for him, and like, he always wanted to do it.
Yeah.
He always said, I'm going to make this into something, and at one point he went teetotal quite a long time ago now. And after that, he's kind of just
focused
on that, and look where it is now. So now he's got like, probably pushing on 1 million followers on Instagram. Just been to the World Cup with Sports Direct. It's mental.
It is mental. It's based on a Sunday League team, and he does sketches, really, doesn't he? Like team talks, his bits of you. My favourite one of you is when you're a sub and you have to come on for the last minute to lie down behind the wall.
Oh, yeah. I always get them rubbish jobs. Or carrying all flags and balls. Yeah, I mean, we have such a laugh with it. It's like...
And they do the serious stuff as well, because you've been in them ones where, like, talking about suicide and stuff, haven't you?
Tommy does a lot of them serious ones, and he's really good at it. He should think about getting an agent, probably. But there is serious ones, and I think it's good to do that, because we're always having a laugh and messing around, but then you chuck a serious one, and it gets people thinking, they're not all idiots. Nicer word for it. So yeah, it's great, and he's gone on to achieve massive things with that.
And it's great because it's just obviously normal lads, isn't it?
None of us are actors, to speak.
That's what you can do now. You start doing the ideas, you do a sketch, put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I bet at the beginning it was like not many followers, but then like just snowballed, didn't it?
Like Instagram and TikTok. That's I think he's figured out over the past couple of years that. That's the place to do it.
Yeah.
That's where people look. Not that many people on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. Kids just want to watch short videos of him screaming at some players and spitting everywhere and that. It's amazing.
Are you getting recognised much through that?
Yeah. Funny enough, I got recognised in Manchester Airport. Must have been last year. I think we were going to Tenerife and I were running off to the toilet and this kid went... like looking at me and I'm like, I think what's he looking at? And he went, excuse me, are you Housey from Bracknell? Next thing he's on plane talking about, my mate knows Chris and all this.
Yeah.
It's amazing, like, you just don't realise.
I was saying, when it first came out, you think, oh, this is good, this is funny. But I know Sheffield and I know people and stuff. You think, I'm laughing, but it's actually gone worldwide now, isn't it? It's like,
oh, yeah.
It's there, and Chris, who we're talking about, Steve Bracknell, is, just gone to the World Cup, sponsored by Sports Direct.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So he's doing all that. He's in the shop, and he massive pictures of him.
Yeah, and we did that shop in Meadowhall.
Yeah,
we're selling kits and that.
That's it. Yeah,
people queuing
shop,
outside of there. Yeah. Which again, were like, it was surreal.
Yeah,
you're walking out of a shop and there's people queuing outside asking for your autograph and that. Thinking, what's happening here? But amazing, like, it's once in a lifetime stuff. That.
And then what's the future for that? I know. I suppose you can't say everything. Yeah, that's happening, can you?
But probably a question for him. I do know things, but I can't really say.
No, I'm not asking you to.
But see what happens with the Royal Oak, I'm guessing, next season.
Yeah, well, you're a core character, so you're going to stick with it and be...
Hopefully, yeah. As long as you don't kill me off. I think that might be winning that, to be honest.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, and then that kind of... I did a bit of that, and then Cross Wires Festival, Dino rang me and saying, do you want to be in an advert for that?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, yeah. So did that, and then... kind of got another job through Warp Films after that.
Yeah, well, let's play a song and then we'll come back onto your acting career. Which is kind of linked in it. So you've done that Fantastic Manager is the one you've gone for next.
Yeah, and this stemmed from, I knew the song before, but it stemmed from watching This Is England series again.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where they're all having a barbecue outside and they put this on and they're all dancing. I'm like, oh, forgot about this tune.
So
I just kept playing it for the next year. Yeah.
So this is Fantastic Man. Is it William?
William Onyebo.
Onyebo.
Yeah.
There you go. Fantastic Man.
We'll be right back.
Fantastic man. William Onyebor, that's the choice of Dave House here tonight on Deserted Island Disc. We're quickly running out of time, Dave. It always happens.
It's flying by.
But it's good, though. It's good. Good to chat to you.
Yeah.
So you were just telling us, really, that you were getting into that song because it was Warp, and then you got a job for Warp, yeah?
I did, yeah. Reunion. So I did the Cross Wires thing, and it went on Instagram and that, and everyone loved it, I think. And Mark messaged me on Instagram laughing.
Mark Herbert, yeah.
From Warp. And I messaged him back saying, are you going to get me a job or what?
Yeah.
And he just rang me and said, there might be something coming up. I was joking, obviously.
Yeah.
He said, we're doing this thing called Reunion, filmed in Sheffield, Def Leppard cast. There might be a small role for you. I'm like, oh, amazing.
Yeah.
And then kind of just forgot about it, you know, you carry on with your life. And then I wrote my mum and dad's one afternoon and he rang me and said, you're going to get a call off a casting director saying, there's a role for you. Like, it's nothing to do with me, you've just got to audition for it and see what happens. I was amazed. And then a couple of weeks passed by, kind of forgot again. Then I got a phone call, I think we're going to Whitby for the weekend or something like that. And they said, here's the script, it's a small role, but you need to do a self-tape, but we need it back for Monday.
Yeah.
This was Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
And I'm like, phew. Right, okay. So, like, learning this script in Whitby, and anyway, yeah, I got the role.
I
was playing a guy called Watson, who was a prison inmate.
With
the main character, and absolutely loved it. And then we came on to do some extra scenes at the end, which were again amazing. Yeah, I'll not give a spoiler alert, but it was good fun. Like,
oh, come on, all right.
Well, no, just give us. I mean, it's 2 years ago now. I'm sure everyone's seen it.
It is a fantastic series, and I watched it at the time, and I was like, I didn't know you were in it, and I was going, "Oh, there's Housie."
Yeah, I had a few customers like who I painted their house for, and they're like, "Is that Dave?" I'm like, they texted me saying, "Is that you on telly?" I'm like, "No, it's not me."
Honestly, you were so professional as an actor, weren't
you? Thank you.
You were really, really good.
I felt quite relaxed. Yeah. Which is the biggest thing I've ever done.
So you're natural. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I suppose I am actually. Yeah, but I loved it. Like, what an experience that was. Like, just getting a driver to pick you up and stuff like that. I'm like, I'll just get a taxi. It's fine. Like, no, I'll pick you up and got your own little set and stuff. And
amazing. I'd recommend anyone to watch it. It was a great series.
Was
it like four episodes? Wasn't it?
Four episodes. So,
really nice and interesting, wasn't it? I mean, because it was.
Something so different,
I mean, it was the main character's deaf and didn't really speak really much.
They were all signed, and a lot of the cast were deaf and the crew.
Yeah.
So it was really nice, It was tough for me because I didn't know sign language. But there were lots of interpreters and stuff there, and it were amazing. Yeah.
Really interesting.
What an experience,
So, go and have a look here. Reunion. You'll spot Housie in the prison cell.
Tattooed up. Tattoos up my neck and
So, great, really good. But, and so that for you was, I suppose, the bug to start, and then you've done, obviously nothing that big, but you kind of, then you got an agent, you say?
Yeah, so like, I started a spotlight page, which is kind of like, it's kind of a bit like LinkedIn, I suppose, but for actors. where you just, if you get a credit after your name, which I got after.
Yeah.
Reunion, you can start a spotlight page.
Yeah,
and I got an agent contacted me through that, Birdston Talent Management, and they've basically signed me up.
Yeah,
I'm yet to land a role with them, but they send me a lot of adverts and stuff. And
so you do auditions like
self tapes, which is it's tricky because my wife Amy has to do the other lines.
Yeah,
and you have to do it. They send it you on a Friday. It's got to be in for Monday.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, Jesus.
But I imagine one of the things that would always put me off acting, not that I've had any chance to be an actor, but that rejection thing, I think
I'm used to it now, to be honest.
But I think it must be easy being rejected, like, when you've done a tape rather than like going in and
exactly. Like, I think for me, if I went in a room full of people in London,
yeah,
I'd be rubbish at that.
Yeah,
but doing it at home,
yeah,
you can send it. For instance, I'll send some to Sean, who's a director, and what's this like? You're like, well, just try it this way.
Yeah,
which is helpful, and you can just if it's rubbish, just delete it.
Yeah, exactly. Keep going.
You get
keep
more
going.
Than one chance. Yeah.
So we're quickly running out of time. You mentioned your wife briefly.
Yeah, Amy.
Go on, how did you meet, all that?
We've been together about 10 years now. Been married 5, our anniversary last week. And we've got a beautiful daughter called Maeve.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah, amazing wife, amazing mum. Yeah, she's kind of lets me do what I want, really. Like, yeah, she's great. So yeah, this kind of leads on to the next song, really.
Go on then. Well,
Talking Heads, This Must Be The Place. We used to dance around kitchen to it a lot, and we were always on playlists. And then this was our first dance at our wedding.
Great, and it's a great song. Let's play it. So This Must Be The Place, Talking Heads. Thank you. Yes, I love Talking Heads. They're definitely my deserted island dish. A bit of Talking Heads, I'm not sure which one, but it's so hard picking songs, isn't it?
It's very hard, cool. Yeah. I could have picked 30, I reckon. And
obviously, we've only you haven't got any Sheffield bands in the...
No, really not, to be fair. I thought it might have been a bit obvious, but... No, I could. Yeah, we could come and do a Sheffield one quite easily.
You could do
yeah.
six Sheffield songs
easily, yeah.
With people you know, probably.
Yeah. It would be, yeah. So, yeah, that song also, it's like Mighty Name is Song. But when Maeve were born in the hospital, they had a random playlist on, and this song came on randomly. And we were like,
and it was your wedding song as well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We're like, what's the chances here? Like, yeah. It's got to be a sign for something.
And it's a fantastic song.
So, yeah, I had to play that one.
Yeah. So we're getting towards the end. Oh, no. So we've got 7 minutes left. So there's a few things I want to talk about. I mean, bringing it back to the kind of Irishness, so you're co-owner of Fagin's now. How did that come about?
Yeah. Basically, me and my mate Jim were sat in there when Tom and Barbara had it, and they were talking about retiring, and we just said, oh, imagine taking this pub on, like, it'd be amazing. And then on the Monday, Jim had started this WhatsApp group, and there were a lot of people in it at that point, and it whittled down to nine of us.
I wish I knew Jim better than
a lot of people said that. Yeah. Oh, do you not need another member? So I might get a bit complicated.
Yeah,
but like a lot of like Mark and Niall and Stan, they all knew Tom and Barbara quite well, and they still do. So they had a bigger connection than they probably added, but like, it's such an amazing pub.
Yeah.
Great to be part of, yeah. And it's one of, well, we opened that same time Maeve were born, to be honest.
Right. So is it
was a good year, that.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So we opened in March.
Yeah, so it's about 2.5 years now, isn't it? Yeah.
Three and a half.
Is it 3.5? Yeah.
Yeah, 3.5 years.
Time flies, eh? Old Tom and Barbara. I've asked Tom to come on a show. He's turned me down.
Has he?
Yeah, we'll keep trying.
Yeah, get him a few more Guinness.
But it's a great, Sheffield institution. It still has the live music on in the back
of
the room.
It does,
Most
days of the
you've
week,
kept, I mean, it's great that you lot have kept it that way. I mean, you've done your best to keep it that tradition going.
Yeah, we've added that back room on, which is, trying to keep that traditional pubby as possible. But like the main bar, you don't need to do anything to it, which is good for me, because I don't want to paint it all. But, like tobacco stained ceilings and stained wood and that, you start messing around with that and you just may as well just knock it into flats.
Yeah.
You just leave it as it is, which is what we've tried to do.
Fantastic. Now, well done. And then also kind of, is that through Jim, you climbed Kilimanjaro last year? What was that like?
Yeah, tough.
Was it this year? This year?
January, which seems years ago. Yeah, so me, Jim, our mate Jack, Lewis, who I mentioned earlier, and Sean, who I mentioned earlier, So I think it was Jim that mentioned it. He said roundabout are doing a climb Kilimanjaro.
Great charity.
Try and raise loads of money. Amazing charity,
Jim's done quite a lot for in the past, hasn't he? Yeah.
And, to raise money for that, it was just like, come on, let's just...
What did they do then?
Look after the homeless youths in Sheffield, and they do an amazing job at it.
Thank you.
Try and keep them sheltered.
The challenge was unbelievable, wasn't it? I think I've seen pictures of you guys at the top, and none of you are smiling.
To be honest, at that point, we didn't even know where we were. It was just like the last night were incredibly hard, like mentally and physically. You set off at midnight walking up this hill, and you get there at sunrise, and you're like, I remember getting to the top and I'm like, yes, we've done it. So at one point I put my headphones in, I'm like, I need to listen to some music here, just get me up.
Yeah.
And then one of the guys said, oh, it's another 20-25 minutes to get to the summit point.
Yeah.
At that point I'm like,
that's it, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, we did it, we all did it, which is amazing because there were like 15 of us in that group and we all did it. But coming back down with it, one of the hardest things I've... Probably the hardest thing I've ever done.
Your
legs feel like jelly and you're getting pulled down quick because of the altitude. You need to get back down sharpish, otherwise it could be serious.
Are you glad you did it?
Oh, yeah. Like, what an amazing experience, especially with five good mates as well, four good mates.
Has that made you bond even more?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. We're like, we've got our own little group, WhatsApp group, and we go out for drinks and that together, and
it's
definitely brought us all closer.
What amazing. You're an amazing man. Everything that you've
done. Thank you.
No, it's just, you know, you got your day job, keep your family going, but then you're able to do these amazing things, like the acting, Steve Bracknell.
I feel very lucky.
And, Kilimanjaro, all sorts of things. Yeah, so very lucky. We're coming towards the end of the show. Is there anything else you would say? What's, like, plans for the future these days, anything?
I don't know, I'll try and get some more acting jobs, I think.
We've got your last song to play.
I have. So this is a song that, if any of my mates are listening, this is a song that, like, we all used to put on at the end of the night. Someone's House or in DQ at Threads. This is Outcast, Spottiotic, Dopealicious.
Right, let's play it. So, and we'll see you all next week, Deserted Island Disc listeners. We've got a great man next week. We've got Keith Shaw, who's a great singer from The Grapes. So he'll be on live on the show next Wednesday. So thanks a lot, Dave.
Thanks, mate.